The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
I am here with my good buddy, Mr. Dusty Giebink. How are you doing this evening, Mr. Dusty?
I am excellent. I've got my TNA brand skull t-shirt on. I'm ready to go.
Awesome. Well, since you have that t-shirt on, and you have been the TNA Zen Master of the site, what do you think of the official ousting of one Vincent Russo from the booking committee?
Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty I'm free at last! Notice, by the way, that Dixie didn't fire his ass. It was an amicable parting of the ways. Because Dixie would never actually fire him, which tells you everything you need to know about TNA, doesn't it?
That can be a bit of a blessing, and it can be quite a large curse also.
Yep.
That was kind of interesting. No being future endeavored in TNA. Unless you really go above and beyond the Call of Duty,
or unless you want out, in which case they'll just let you go, because they apparently have no leverage whatsoever in their contracts. Like if you're Kevin Nash and you want to leave, they'll just let you go, and that's the only way you can leave TNA.
Yeah, and he's done a whole lot since then.
Yeah, he sure has.
But do you think, and this was honestly the thing that hit me, you've been talking about the better booking and whatnot and the show.
Mm-hmm.
And though I have definitely been critical of certain aspects, it has been far more watchable. Do you think that Lagana had enough? I mean, and now that he's officially head writer, it might even be answering itself. But do you think they just finally realized that with him around, it finally did give them like a true another perspective, and it kind of pointed out the errors that Vince Russo had in his style?
I do. I think him and Bruce Pritchard together. You put those two together, you got good, creative, intelligent people, and you can see the company actually moving in a positive direction, and hopefully that opens some eyes in TNA. You know, it doesn't have to be this. It can be this thing over here instead. So I'd like to attribute it to Lagana and Bruce Pritchard.
Gotcha. Yeah, it can't really be. I can't imagine it's going to be a negative, which is the other upside to this. I wouldn't mind an even more consistent product. Let's say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There were maybe still one too many double crosses for my liking.
Oh, sure. No partners can ever coexist in that company. It's physically impossible. If you found two people in that company who ever actually genuinely got along, they would spontaneously combust. So.
Hopefully that problem is solved here in the near future.
Oh, God, I hope so.
So I don't know. I mean, is there really much else to say about this news?
Well, I'm just optimistic about it. I've been cautiously optimistic about TNA the last couple months, actually, and this is the cherry on top, as the Pope might say. So, the Pope would say that if he hadn't fallen into a vortex, by the way. But that's for another audio.
Yeah, no, if he hadn't got sucked down into the Devon and Devon's kids' hell vortex, he might be somewhere.
You have been listening. That's good to hear.
Oh, man. So, okie dokie. Well, with
that
one...
Well, we moved from one crappy show to another here.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the one thing that... that they do have in common here is that neither product is exactly setting the world on fire.
Yeah.
But someone who does like to set fires, Mr. Kane, started us off with his Embrace the Hate campaign for one John Cena.
Yeah. Is this storyline... This storyline seems completely out of place. It's like a cartoon storyline, you know? I felt like I am watching a cartoon whenever I see Kane now.
Yeah, and you have... I mean, and I don't know how many times I've heard of John Cena called as cartoony. Just in his general makeup. Is this all... cartoony, and really, and not that it was really, to me, I guess it was kind of a good thing, but Zack Ryder, his character was a little cartoony, and that's what was endearing about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, wow, he has added to that legacy by taking that plunge off of the stage at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm. Spoiler.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That was... well, actually, he gets an award for that and for being the world's most seen cuckold there after Eve gets saved in the van. I know that I'm a little bit all over the place, but... wow. It was such a cartoony response to it. And the fact that for some reason a guy in a wheelchair felt that it was a good idea to come and try and help someone in his wheelchair with a back and neck brace on.
Yep.
That part of it, there's no, that part isn't cartoony.
Nope.
That's just bad logic.
Yeah, it is.
Like, if he had seen it on TV,
mm-hmm.
You know, like he's back in the room or whatever, and he sees it happen.
Yes.
I'm fine. Yes. That makes everything okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, now that I pretty much ran through all three parts of that.
You did.
I don't know. What are your thoughts on it?
You could see the cartoon dark cloud over his head when he saw Cena kiss her. You know, he just had that complete hangdog look on his face. Like, you know, there was a storm cloud over only his house, you know, like they did on Married with Children that one time. It was that kind of...
Yeah, and I was thinking more Pigpen from Peanuts.
Nice! There we go.
Yep.
That's perfect. It's just one little cloud of dust, and it's completely encompassing his body, and that's it. So, yeah, no... human being in their right mind that's in a back brace and a neck brace, crutches, wheelchair, that whole thing, wouldn't go out there and do that and wouldn't come to the ring at the end either. I mean, just common sense. They just wouldn't. Why would you put yourself in that danger? I don't understand.
There is no logic to those parts whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, at some point it's just like, okay, I understand someone, like, trying to shake off, like, a minor knee injury or, a broken finger or something like that. But, you know, a back brace and... even when they downgraded his condition, what the shit did they downgrade it to? From a broken back to, like, a strained back or something like that, and then he got hurt after that?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, at that point you're like, okay, no, you're, like, too far deep in the injury pool to even consider that.
Right. Yeah.
So it's just like, oh, come on. Just, yeah,
well,
not good, really.
No, and they've made him look dumb, and they've made him look weak, and they've completely taken away the likability factor of his character. Just lickety-split, he's not likable anymore, you know?
Yeah, he...
sad sack dude now.
Yeah, that's what was so odd to me. I'm like, you know, you can understand... really, up until this week, that part of the angle, in a way, like, Kane needed someone to beat on, so, you know, it's okay. But now it's almost like, how do you not turn him heel? Like, how does he go back to fun-loving dude after that ordeal? Because then it becomes, it's even more than cartoony at that point. It's like, hold on, like, that guy, no, I'm sorry, like, he is taking a whole lot of drugs right now.
You're right. Like, other people you work with, maybe.
Yeah, like other people I work with, possibly. Yeah, it's just like, no, like, he, you know, it's just like, you couldn't take that flippant attitude at all. I mean, unless they really think that the... well, their core audience will really just forget next week or something.
I would not put that past them. That's a very strong possibility.
Yeah,
I mean, the problem with them is I don't think they know what they're doing from week to week. It's just like, let's do stuff, you know? No matter how illogical it is.
I completely agree that some of it, especially within that storyline, it's just...
Yeah, this storyline in particular is just like, whoa, let's do this now, you know? So.
Yeah. Oh, man. And I completely, you know what, another part that I was just laughing at was when he's like, you know, it's not you, it's me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess that's another kind of layer to him just getting shit on. It's just like, it's just like, oh... just all came down pouring on him.
It just really seems like the bookers hate him or something, and they're just burying the guy. You know, you feel bad for him at this point. He's just being made to look like a schmuck all the way around. So.
Yeah, well, and yeah, I mean, he wasn't even really... most of the guys that take bumps like that, even though if they take some time off, they don't seem to take off this much time. So it's just kind of like...
Right. Yeah.
And he even got stuck into that. It's just like, oh, even if they take a week off or something, it's just like, oh, back and ready to go, and they might have something taped up or whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've really taken a thorough lashing of his character.
Nobody in wrestling anymore has that Diamond Dallas Page dedication. You know, you got to tape it up for like 19 years just to really drive home the point. So,
oh man, well, and that really had more to do with the end of the show than the beginning of the show. One thing I wouldn't have minded seeing Kane set on fire, though, was the show the real show opener, which was the debate.
Oh God!
Set up. You know, the one thing that's being said as a positive is that, well, it was different than most other openings. Does that really hack it, in your opinion, as an excuse?
Nope, not at all. I guess I'm just about to give it the most backhanded praise ever. It's better than what they would have done otherwise, which is one guy comes to the ring, followed by another guy coming out to the ring, followed by another guy until we got all six guys in the ring anyway arguing with each other. At least they had the discipline not to do that. But I swear to God that this isn't the only alternative to that. I bet you if we tried real hard, we could come up with some other way to do it. That isn't this. I think what summed it up perfectly... Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I was just going to throw out my idea, which would be each give them mic time without the other guys around.
Beautiful.
I know that is a crazy far-out thought.
I don't think that's ever been done in wrestling, dude. Huh.
Yeah, have Josh Matthews and his 9 pounds of hair gel. Just interview every guy individually with no one interrupting anyone else.
Yep.
Especially since they all had matches this week against each other.
Yep. They could have been interviewed one at a time, two at a time before each match. How hard is that?
I don't know, because it makes it really easy. You're like, I'm going to beat, Kofi's like, hey, I'm going to beat Chris Jericho and, you know, and he actually did kind of say that, though. His promo might have been the best out of the bunch, even if I didn't really like the format.
Yeah.
Or at least it was
solid. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I would argue with anything that anybody said, really. Just the format itself, the presentation, is what I object to the most. Like, I might think that R-Truth talking to himself and being weird is stupid, but whatever, you know, on its own, fine. It just looked really out of place with five other guys standing around like schmucks watching him do it, you know?
Yeah, no, I got you.
What I was going to say earlier, though, I think that what told the story was when they were panning the camera to each of the participants, CM Punk looked properly embarrassed. So at least he had the knowledge and the foresight to be embarrassed about this before it happened. So,
yeah, and the other thing that really didn't help was that those podiums looked really shitty.
Yep.
Just like you kind of you have this first-rate product for just about everything, but then they throw like four sides painted black with like a green top or whatever it was, or maybe it was green with a black top.
Right.
And it's just like, there you go. And they're all so squeezed together in the ring that it's kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah, you know, you'd think, like, earlier in the afternoon, they'd line them up and see that six in a row like that is really too squeezed together, and then maybe start to rethink, okay, maybe we shouldn't do this, that's a bad idea? Maybe?
Well, if they start writing on Monday, it would make perfect sense to change it earlier in the day.
Well, yeah. The highlight of this segment was Laurinaitis coming out. Can we agree on that? I'm trying to look on the sunny side here. I love Laurinaitis' character. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. You know, he's gotten me to the fence.
He's dragged you that far? Okay.
Yeah, because there are times where he's finally gotten the dopiness down to a good factor. And
yep.
I think that maybe it was beneficial to set him up as a heel at first. Because I said that because if they wouldn't have done that part, some of the stuff in the backpedaling now that he's doing now wouldn't be entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they actually planned that or they stumbled into it. But, to me that's been a benefit because it's made his character funny. And he's loosened up a little bit too, like, I'm still calling him Johnny Wooden GM just because it's there to stay on my blog. But he might be getting to that endearing moving over to the as I always compare any good cheese to CSI Miami. So he's swinging in that direction, but I don't think he's all the way there yet for me. But we're working there.
What sealed the deal for me forever was when he was up on Punk's shoulders and just completely expressionless. Like, that signaled to me that he will always be Johnny Wooden, you know. So.
Yeah, no, but, and this is one of those things that it's actually kind of weird. Sometimes when they start going with, because they've really kind of even started, well, and CM Punk's pointed it out, about how wooden he is, and usually when they try to amp something up like that, they make it come across worse than it was before. Like, you can tell that they're forcing it. But with him, it's just like, oh, my God. It's just like, it's still genuine dopiness in a way.
Yeah, it is. It's just sort of a sense of, get a load of this guy. Can you believe that?
Yeah, so that has kind of helped, too. Like, he hasn't gone overboard with, like, overacting. Like, he gets it that he just needs to look like he used to rather than hamming it up an extra couple of notches.
Agreed. Agreed. I think he is really a genuine highlight on the show, so I wanted to give that special mention. So.
And what, we vowed to not talk about matches because they didn't matter.
Yeah.
Because Kofi
beat Kofi. Mhm.
Really. We just said it didn't matter. Everyone listening knows that it didn't matter.
Yep. Everything you know will be erased at the pay per view. So who gives a shit?
Okay. We're officially in. Everything's forgotten. We're going to WrestleMania mode.
Yep. Mhm.
All the silliness
it's
of
really,
will be washed under the river.
Yeah. Yeah. We see smiling Shawn Michaels backstage, and he hugs Triple H. So.
Yep.
That was the thing.
And this.
Put him over.
Now, this angle, at least the commercial that I got in my market, which is the fine city of Columbus, Ohio, there was a commercial saying that one, Daniel Bryan, will still be holding on to he has the world title. He will still be holding on to the world title come March the 13th at Nationwide Arena in this fine city. Now, I've got to admit, I believe there have been a number of times when commercials like this have aired in local markets and been wrong. Do you think that Brian ends up losing the title over the weekend here?
I don't. He'll probably retain it. I probably believe that advertisement more than anything, you know? So.
Is there do you think that there's is that a good move in your estimation?
Yeah, I hate title changes anyway. I mean, they change the belt way too often as it is. He should at least be able to hold the belt until Mania, don't you think?
Yeah, I don't see any reason he shouldn't. The two biggest matches on that card aren't going to be title matches.
Yeah, yep.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. Whatever order you want to put it in, and I would have to say that Rock Cena is number one, just because they've been billing it for a year.
Yep.
you know, another angle that we'll get to in a little bit here, Triple H versus The Undertaker.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the top two matches. That's what's selling the show. The title matches are an afterthought. So, kind of, anyway. Sheamus has been a complete afterthought since winning the Rumble. It's like he doesn't really matter at all right now. We're just sort of in a holding pattern until we can get to his match.
Yeah, like he was having a nice little run there of beating some somewhat good quality opponents. Still literally having no good feud in particular. Ever since the Rumble, it's just kind of like, okay, we've kind of run out of mid-tier guys for you to just roll over now. So, you got to wait until after the Elimination Chamber to do something.
And, drives me crazy, by the way, that this pay-per-view was only 3 weeks after the last one. How bad a planning is that?
This should have been held off. I can understand wanting to have a longer runway into WrestleMania. But 1 week here, pushing it to whatever next Sunday is, Sunday after this, it really would have done everyone a favor. It would have helped things out for this pay-per-view, and you wouldn't have lost that much time. I mean, it's pretty clear, again, with the segment that we haven't really talked about yet, Triple H and Taker, that stuff's already being built for WrestleMania, and The Rock...
Yeah.
Getting his little vignette there for Journey 2. Whatever. It's not as good as being there, but it's something, and it's definitely reminding you that that's just around the bend.
Yep. Yeah, you're sprinkling stuff in, and at the same time, the Elimination Chamber doesn't seem as rushed, you know? You know, one more week to flesh things out a little bit there while still going backwards and building up Mania as well. It could have been done. It should have been done.
Yeah, and would there, to you, would there have been would it have been a good idea to put have Sheamus go with the tack of, hey, if I'm the champion going into WrestleMania, I can challenge for the other title belt and have him in the SmackDown Elimination Chamber?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going for both belts. I'm going to unify them and be the sole champion of the company, you know? Yeah, that's what I would have done. I wouldn't have had him do it, but that should have definitely been a goal of his. You know, if you're a wrestler, that should be the goal, you know? Get the main titles and make the most amount of money. So it makes sense to me.
Yeah, it definitely would save you some hassle too, and this was according to also some I believe some fairly late breaking news that Randy Orton supposedly injured himself on this past Raw.
Okay.
And Mark Henry is now supposed to the already replaced Mark Henry is making a comeback.
Oh, boy. That's interesting. I didn't hear that.
That was one of those things. I think I just read that before we came here. I didn't see the news, like, even by the time I left work.
Okay.
You know, to me, it's just like they've kind of given them the WWE two opportunities. Injuries have given the WWE two opportunities to bring Sheamus into that match.
It's like even God wants it to happen. Come on, guys, just put him in there. Jesus. I am Jesus, and I'm saying Jesus in vain. So... Anywho.
Oh, man. Yeah, but unfortunately, we end up with the immobile Great Khali and a still-injured Mark Henry coming back for another match that he probably should not be involved in.
Yeah. I can hear Brian Alvarez screaming minus 5 stars already.
I suppose we'll find out how many stars that match gets come Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, alrighty, that one didn't go where I expected it to, but hey, that sounds good enough to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's pretty obvious show is not getting that title belt, so, you know, whatever.
Right. Exactly.
So, and you know what? What is the one last thing about this angle that how did I not ask you about it? What do you think about the on again, off again, Michael Cole is backing Daniel Bryan. He isn't backing Daniel Bryan. He is backing him. He isn't backing him. When clearly, at this point, the crowd has gone heel on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. it's sort of like listening to an Evan Dando record, like get yourself any Lemonheads album, and all the songs are like, I like girls, but not really, tee-hee-hee. You know, it's like that just hit puberty, not sure what to do with myself about women kind of thing. He doesn't know what to do with himself. I think it's very confused. I think it's not just his fault, it's the booking. I think there's no quality control when it comes to the announcing. No one, no filter, nobody to say, hey, you're a heel all the time, or you're a babyface all the time. And I think they're kind of left to their own devices, and I think for several weeks, like, he and King didn't know what to do with Daniel Bryan, and it really showed. I think it's hurting the product. Like, he went into that match for Daniel Bryan, praising him, praised his radiant smile or something. And then at the end of the match, he's like, oh, he ruined the goddamn match, you know, or whatever he said. And, yeah, no, nobody knows exactly what's happening. It's very confused and confusing, and, yeah, it hurts the show. The announcers should be consistent and reliable, and they're not. So that's my answer to your long-winded question.
Well, I needed a break, so it was good that you had a long-winded answer.
Okay.
Well, you know, I've already kind of mentioned it. No, screw it. We're going to save that one for last. Because, again, matches did not count. We've covered the whole Cena-Kane saga. What took the WWE so long to realize that they could slap Snuka on Tamina's name and then have her do the Superfly Splash and everyone would love her?
No idea. To me, that should have been a no-brainer. So, they love that second-generation crap, you know? So I can't believe they missed this.
Yeah, no, I was just wondering if there was something that I was missing, honestly, because I know they're not going to put a lot into into this. It's their women's division. That's fine. I have long ago dealt with that. But still, like, they still seem to try and put out one good storyline. It's just like, how have you just wasted her for, I don't know, how long have the Usos been around now? A couple of years?
Yep, I think so. Mm-hmm.
And she's the only, like, between her, Beth Phoenix, and I think I'd even put Eve, at least size-wise, in that category.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, well, and Natalia, despite the fact that she's shorter, I think she could throw down with them. Unfortunately, she evidently is caught up in a farting angle, which, wow.
Keep it classy.
I'm not even, huh?
Yep. Keep it classy, WWE.
Yeah. They have the good angle with Tamina and Beth Phoenix, and then they just completely wreck the house a commercial break later.
That's probably the answer. They didn't acknowledge Tamina's background because they had no interest in pushing her until it was convenient for them to push her. And then they realized, oh, shit, we got to give her some kind of credibility. So that's my guess.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I guess since they only use them every now and again, they couldn't have really built up too many of the women too often. So maybe it's just finally her turn, considering that Alicia Fox is getting pushed off the cliff after her little run.
Yeah, they rotate these women very quickly. From prominent to nothing.
Yeah, you know? And that's a bit of a problem too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what the now elephant in the room here, the big angle, of course.
Oh my God! There's an elephant in the room. Jesus! How could you tell me?
I'm sorry, your St. Bernard has turned into an elephant.
Wow. He's sleeping, though. That's okay.
we get Mr. Shawn Michaels coming back for the first time in nearly a year.
Yep.
To have a good talk with his buddy Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts on this fine angle?
I thought it was a fine angle. My first impression is that I want to sodomize Justin Roberts. Just fucking hate him. His voice is so grating. You know, he's the John Cena, you know, and the way he introduced Shawn Michaels in just the same voice, just, oh, it made me want to just jam needles into my ears or something. So that was my first impression.
That's not a good way to start things off on a consistent basis, like an every match basis. Someone wants to jab something sharp into their ears.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's great, though. He's a great announcer. My second impression was the way Michaels reacted to Triple H in a suit was sort of like, remember that scene in Grease where Danny joins the track team to try to impress Sandy and all the rest of the T-Birds are like, Danny Zuko gone jock? What the hell? So... yeah, it was very reminiscent of that. Michaels is like, what the hell? This isn't the Triple H I know. So, I kind of got a kick out of that, at least. That was fun.
That might have been the part that is just, at least to me, well, and I guess this is another one to me, that it just seemed like there was a lot of... inane at the beginning, but then it wouldn't have. Again, it might not have made the point. Is strong to me at the end.
Okay.
You know, when Michaels finally snapped out of him, kind of joking mode, and went, "No, dude, you're gonna fucking do this.
Right.
You're a coward."
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, I guess I don't know what to think of that.
Michaels was good, and I thought Triple H was bad in this segment. Is basically what I thought.
Okay.
You know, I really didn't appreciate the brand talk and why it's assumed that he would just beat Undertaker. They both just assumed that he would beat Undertaker and destroy him. Like, wait a minute, not so fast here. Michael should be pointing out that Undertaker will probably beat your ass, you know, prove me wrong. But that was not to be either. Yeah, Triple H in this character just seems so flat to me and uninteresting and just boring. And Michaels was sort of fun, and then Triple H came out there and sapped the energy out of the room. That was my take.
Yeah, I liked one of his responses, but it kind of makes for a similarly weird build-up, which is another thing amusing about WrestleMania, that their two biggest matches have to be hyped by people that aren't wrestling, in a suit, and one guy who's caught in a cartoon storyline.
Yep. I am not at all a fan of this direction they're going in. It seems very confused and haphazard. It seems like we're watching several different shows at once. And none of them are particularly good.
The Shawn Michaels quality definitely wasn't worth hanging in there for. And if it was in the main, because I was just thinking, should they have moved this to the main event instead of the cartoon Wonderland at the end of the evening?
Yes, absolutely. It's the serious wrestling stuff that draws the money, not Kane in a Chikara mask, you know? It just, yes, that absolutely should have been. It was, for better or worse, the most interesting part of the show. It had the biggest stoppers in the last whatever many years in wrestling. Yeah, absolutely. And as you pointed out, it's one of the WrestleMania main events, one of the real main events. So, yeah, absolutely could have held its own at the end there. The Cena-Kane thing is just holding pattern until Rock comes, you know?
Yeah, no, they did not think that angle out, is, as you had mentioned earlier. You would think that they would have some way to stretch that thing out a little bit longer without cartoonizing it as much as they have. I mean, I think on principle, the whole embrace the hate thing really isn't a bad thing to do. And, you know, attacking friends or whatnot isn't, you know, a bad way to run. But somewhere in there, they made too many left turns and got to Albuquerque.
Oh, my God. Excellent. Excellent reference. Nice.
Yeah, and they're supposed to be in Miami.
Right.
Never good to be in Albuquerque, then.
They can just keep going west and pick up Rock in Hollywood, you know? Might as well at this point.
Yeah, you could. that was probably my most upsetting part of Raw, was when they said that that was the Rock's Indiana Jones, and I'm just like, oh my God, I can't believe they're even in any type of world trying to compare Journey to Indiana Jones. If the Rock somehow becomes Harrison Ford, I will eat this phone when it's no longer of use.
Yeah. First of all, that's not possible because no one is that big of an asshole. Harrison Ford, a gigantic asshole. But also a much better actor.
Yeah, no, I did not know that. I only knew our Italian history professor actually took him around Florence.
Okay.
He was a tour guide for Florence. And I don't know, he didn't have anything bad to say about him. That's the only story I've really heard about him, because I don't really do the whole paying attention to Hollywood thing.
Gotcha. I'm into all the gossip, Kevin.
Yeah,
I'm a regular old insider.
It's just not wrestling gossip for you.
Right. I'm neck deep in every type of gossip. I just love gossip.
Do you have any good gossip from the Grammys?
No, because I don't care.
Okay.
Oh, did you see what she was wearing? Oh, my God. That's all I got. That's all I got. I don't know.
Oh, man. Well, I don't know. Was there anything else? I guess the one last question that can be said for this to wrap it up. You know, I don't know, a 1 to 10 maybe, or just overall thoughts on this being a go-home show for a pay-per-view?
I was impressed. I'd go the thumbs down, so maybe a 3 or 4 out of 10, something around that. The Cena Kane thing is just way cartoony and way out of place on anything other than He-Man. And God, what else? Yeah, the Triple H thing fell flat to me. They're killing Zack Ryder dead right before our eyes. Every match was basically inconsequential. just a, a holding pattern show that didn't work for me at all. So.
Yeah, no, I was I definitely have to be in that area, and yeah, if it's 3 or 4 points, at least 2 went to Shawn Michaels,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I'll at least give 1 to the whole Tamina and Beth Phoenix thing, I suppose, because despite the fact that it's just their one build up of the year. Or, I shouldn't say one build-up of the year. They're at least building it the right way. They're having her beat people, and Beth and her just having a stare down. They're not fighting over anything catty. It's not because one looks prettier than the other, thank God.
Exactly.
That doesn't happen too often. So that, to me, definitely gets a point. And, maybe I'll give a point to my boy Dolph Ziggler for pointing out how stupid that segment was, really, at the top of the show.
Yeah.
So.
I combined 1 point for Dolph saying that and the look on Punk's face when the segment started. Yeah, that's 1 point. And I'd also award 1 point to Kane for being thoughtful and saying that he would take Cena out of commission until it's time for WrestleMania. How thoughtful of him. No, I'll let him wrestle the WrestleMania match. It's just everything in between. I'm going to destroy him, you know? So
yes.
He's a thoughtful monster, and that deserves a point. So.
Yeah, the level of destruction that Kane wants to wreak havoc is not really up to his big red standards, honestly.
Yeah. He's softening in his old age, which, by the way, he looks really, really old with that mask on. He actually looked younger without the mask. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, well, and having the graying goatee come in and have the camera do, like, a really, really close face-up shot of you doesn't do you any favors, because they generally do not show him too close to the camera.
All I could think about during that segment was, I really hate facial hair on myself, and I just kept like, shave, come on, shave, please.
Well, we know his brother has a straight razor that he's using to cut his hair. So maybe he can buff it from Taker.
It's just like Apocalypse Now, or Porklypse Now, or slashing prices with a straight razor. Anyway.
Well, my good sir, I am ready to get out of this joint, and it's actually too late even really for sippy time beer. It is nighty night time for me, so I will let you sign off.
All right, well, for Kevin DeFranco, for Kane's mask, for my TNA skull merchandise, and the fact that I'm wearing a skull on my skull with pictures of skulls on it, I'm Dusty Giebing. This has been another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. We'll try to do better next time.
How's that for pile driving, Miss Daisy?